from Ephesians 5:18-21. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Okay, I try to speak loud here. Okay, I have to say that I'm really excited to see all the young people here. I have to admit that I'm a little bit surprised that in the last 2 weeks since we opened for in person, you see, 90%, 80% of the people who come back are the young people, and I don't know why we keep saying that they're hard. Trouble in getting up in early in the morning, they want to move the Sunday service to a later time, 9:30 is too early. But it's all the young people here this morning. So I think we have to give them a hand, don't we? So I'm really proud of you. So for the other adults, look at this Zoom now. So if you're fully vaccinated, I think the church is really safe. As Dr. Joe said that it's from our medical officer here, he said it's safe. And I think we are very cautious as a church. You notice that we all wear masks. We even have those plexiglass over there we bought that we're ready to use them, but I don't think we need them. We sanitize the sanctuary after each service, and we try to space out. And we told the Cantonese worshippers that if we come close to 100 people, we will open another worship for them. Right? Because you know that we have over 400 people during normal time for the Cantonese worship. So we are prepared to do everything that we can to make this as safe, as protective as we can. Feel almost a month now since we were we have a mission month, and then now I want to back to a topic I was talking on walk. Oops, I forgot my pointer. And a couple of months ago, I spoke on the topic of walk in the Spirit, and then we paused, and then we started our mission month. And to continue in that thought, how to walk in the Spirit, walk in wisdom, walk in the will of God, that's today's my topic, walking in the Spirit. And I started off. The very first verse that we read this morning is about not getting drunk. And so as I was prepared for the sermon for this week, so I look at the statistics in US, drunk driving statistics in US. More than 25% of all the traffic-related deaths in US are related to drunk driving. And every day, 30 people in the U.S. Die in car accidents with an alcohol-impaired driver. So this week, as I was preparing the sermon, my heart was saddened when I received the news that one of our ex-members from this church is a lot younger than me. He was attending our church, and he left and moved down to LA and found a job there as an engineer, has a family, 3 girls. And I received the news this week that their car was struck by an drunk driver, and he was killed at the site. And the wife is in a coma, and the girls are okay. So this week, my heart was really saddened, and I was preparing this sermon. Drunk driving, we all know the serious consequence damage. And so the Bible has been reminding us that we have to be careful. Wine is a mocker with wine, and beer a borrower. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. When we look at the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, the Bible very clearly warns us not to get drunk. Because when we get drunk, we will lose the control of ourselves. Okay. Can I have the next slide, please? Okay. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, which meaning wickedness, depravity, iniquity, self-indulgence. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So how does to be filled with the Spirit to anything to do with drinking? Why? I mean, one is a very physical alcohol, and the other spiritual, in a spiritual dimension. How can the two be even put together in the same Bible verse, in the same teaching? So obviously, the speaker, the writer here, is not talking about a direct physical relationship with wine and to be filled with the Spirit. But here, the scripture is trying to tell us being drunk is when we lose control of our life, right? So when you stop by police, well, I don't think you'll be stopped by police. No, if you're suspected of drink and drive, then the officer will ask you to walk in a straight line, right? To see if you can control yourself. So someone who's drunk, meaning that he can no longer control his behavior, his speech. So the opposite of that, instead, the opposite of that is to be filled with the Spirit. So to be filled with the Spirit doesn't mean that you cannot drink wine. So he is trying to say that if you're being the influence, the control of alcohol, then you lose yourself, you lose your control. And in the Old Testament, it is a problem. Unfortunately, today, it is also a problem. So to be able to be filled with the Spirit, and the scripture here is talking about to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, to walk in wisdom. That was my last topic a couple of months ago, is to know God's will, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the power of the Spirit. Do not lose control of yourself, be it the alcohol, influence of the alcohol, or other things, or just your own self. Walk in the wisdom, walk in the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, well, sometimes we, especially if you belong to certain denominations, very often you relate to be filled with the Spirit is when we have this supernatural experience, speaking in tongues, perform certain miracles, miracle healing. Our denomination actually believe in divine healing, which is different from miracle healing. Some supernatural act out of your flesh. But that's not, if you look at the scripture carefully, that's not what the scripture is teaching. First, we can see from this verse that we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And to be filled with the Spirit is a plural form. That means the body of Christ, all of us, the community here, all of us has to be filled by the Spirit. And to be filled by the Spirit is in a present, continuous, ongoing process, not just once. So we have to be continually, daily, to be filled by the Spirit. But what does it mean by to be filled by the Spirit? As I said, there is not just any supernatural behavior that we will have. To be filled by the Spirit is to be totally controlled by the Spirit. I spoke in the last few sermons on that our life has to be permeated by God's word, the scripture. And it's the scripture that gives us the wisdom. And to know God, we need to know the scripture. So with the scripture permeated every part of our thinking, every faculty of our mind, and we rely on God totally. And that's how we let God to control our life. So that is what is filled by the Spirit. It's always our submission to God, and also that we let God's word permeate every part of our life. We let a Christ-centered life. I really like the three focuses of our denomination, which I've spoke on actually in the last few sermons. A Christ-centered life, and a focus on mission, which was my last sermon 2 weeks ago, and a life that's empowered by the Spirit. When we are controlled by the Spirit, our life will be full of power. So this morning, we're going to look at how powerful, right? As we always talk about, empowered by the Spirit. So how powerful our life is when we are filled with the Spirit. And I look at that myself as well. There are three areas. Paul here told us, there are three areas when our life is filled with the Spirit. We'll speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music. Form your heart to the Lord. Praising God is an outcome of our life being filled with the Spirit. We all, well, every church, I think every worship will have praise and worship time, singing time. But not every time when we participate in the singing, we sing with our heart, isn't it? So sometimes our singing is more like a singing in a funeral service. But we have a very strong, powerful worship teams here. The ones sitting here this morning, I'm sure you all agree that being here, even though you are not supposed to sing very loud, just being here, you can experience, it's a different dynamic, isn't it, than sitting in front of your laptop by yourself in your bedroom. So that's why I encourage people to come, to be able to participate in this corporate worship. Singing is from the heart. Here, Paul reminds us the importance of corporate worship. If today I give you a ticket to a concert by Celine Dion or a DVD of her singing, now which one would you take? Right? I mean, the answer is obvious. So being together is different. So last year, during the the peak of the pandemic, when the vaccination program haven't been really been moved on yet. So you know that all the churches were shut down, and the government have a telephone conference with us every 2 to 3 months. So I was invited to join the telephone conference with the government officials, with our health officer, Dr. Henry. So one church leader asked this kind of bit questioning, challenging. So how come all the Costco's can open and all the churches have to shut down? People can go to Costco's, so they are all open, no? All the stores. Obviously, there's an economic reason in it, right? But he challenged the government, no? How come all the stores are open and yet all the churches are closed? So the government officials said that, well, they don't talk to each other in Costco and they don't sing in Costco. So I said, hallelujah. We talk to each other in church, not like in Costco, and we sing. Well, at least you're not allowed to sing really loud. But we sing in the church in the normal time. We even eat in the church. You don't do that in Costco except the sampling. But we actually have a full feast here during normal time. So hallelujah, we sing in the church. We eat in the church. We talk to each other in the church. So singing is a very important part of our community, of our worship service. And it is also a reflection of our innermost, that we are being controlled by the Spirit. When our life is being controlled by the Spirit, we want to sing, don't we, David? Right? They're all nodding their heads, right? And Ernest and all this. When our heart is controlled by the Spirit, and we are overfilled with the joy, we want to sing praise to the Lord. Amen. Music allows us to express our love to God with our whole being. I mean, I can preach here, and then you learn, but if I can sing my sermon now, like Dr. A.B. Simpson, all the hymns, he wrote hundreds of hymns, and each hymn, if you look at the lyrics, it is actually like a sermon. So he actually put his sermon into the hymns. I wish I can do that, then I can sing my sermon out. But then no one will want to come then if I do that. So it's okay, I will delay that. But the music will let us express our love to God with our whole body, our mind, our soul, our spirit. Don't you agree? Right? It's beyond just a text, beyond words. Music let us bring our praise to God. Our human voice is our best musical instrument. Our voice is actually a musical instrument. I actually took some singing lessons before. It is probably the most difficult instrument to learn, harder than the drumming, than your guitar. Your voice is the most difficult musical instrument. It is through our voice that we bring praise to the Lord. And also it's the singing that can bring us into corporate worship. I try to do that with my sermon, but I can never match that with the worship team. When they hang up down here, play the guitar, hit their drum, I mean, everybody is in a corporate worship. Music is also more than just cognitive information. It involves our emotion. It brings into our emotion. And it brings us closer to God. So when I examine myself, Cynthia likes to sing, she's always singing, listening to hymns. Oh, I examine myself. If my life is controlled by the Spirit, I should be singing in my shower, in my driving at church. Even though I wasn't singing very loud, but when I listen to the worship team, my heart just sings. So singing has a different dimension. It reflects our love for God. It reflects that we are being controlled by the Spirit. Through the psalms, hymns, and songs from our spirit, sing and make music from your heart. This has to come from your heart. And every time when I sit here and listen to the worship team, I would say that I enjoy every time. whether it's just David himself or the whole worship team, it is our spirit. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of his faithful people. So I always think that when we go to heaven, I will be out of a job because you don't need to hear me to explain, teach the scripture. Everybody will go and ask Jesus. But the only group that still have a job in the heaven will be the worship teams. So I have to go and look for a job from Ernest. You know, can I have a job here? Then he probably send me to the back. Okay, you start learning how to sing in the choir first. You know, start practicing. And then one day I will bring you to the front. So singing, it is from our spirit. The aim and final end of all music should none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul, from one of the greatest musicians of all time. When our life is filled with the Spirit, we want to always give thanks. It sounds so simple and easy, but it is not. Giving thanks is not an easy lesson that we learned. Always giving thanks for all, not just some of the things, not just the good things, but all things, even things that you may not enjoy, things it may appear that is unfortunate, bad luck, you fail your exam. Now, okay, and I thank the God for that. Thank God for all things. You fail the exam, then you will learn that you have to study harder next time. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, give thanks to all things. So I examine myself. Am I giving thanks to God for all things? A spirit-filled Christian. When your life is filled of the Spirit, you will be a thankful person. And I have to say amen to that. When I look at the church members, there's some people always that stand out in the crowd. When I look at these people who are so always happy, joyful, they are not necessarily the ones who have a lot of possessions. They are the ones, not necessarily, they have good jobs, high incomes, big houses. These few people, they always seem to be very happy. They are all very thankful persons. Every time I talk to them, I just feel this spirit coming from them, that they always thank the Lord that they have this little thing that they have. From our perspective, it may be very little thing, but they are so happy. A spirit-filled life is a life that is very thankful, because unthankfulness is a sin. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. An unthankful heart is not a spirit-filled life. So I examine myself. Am I thankful for everything? Sometimes it is, working in the church is hard, but I thank the Lord that God still used me at my old age. God still give me a chance to serve full-time at church, that I don't have to worry about my other job that I once had. So I thank the Lord for that. Sometimes I said that, you know, for other churches, they only have to look at the one language congregation, right? English, usually it's an English church, only maybe it's 1,000 people, 2,000 people, but there's only one congregation. But here we have three. And trust me, the three are not really the same. It's not just times three. It's three totally different culture, different church. But I thank the Lord for that. It is sometimes confusing and stressful. But I thank the Lord that we have three cultures. Yeah, we are truly a multicultural church. That God give us people from different backgrounds and diversities. I thank the Lord for that. Do we thank the always thanking the Lord? And I've seen Christians, mature Christians or old Christians, as I say, they have a lot in everything, but I always hear them grumble complained, not happy that he or they do not have enough of this or that. They always want more. They're not happy with everything, with everybody. A spirit-controlled life is one with a thankful heart. And I read this on the internet. So when my husband was complaining, how come the dinner is still not ready? So I thank the Lord for that, because he is eating at home tonight. He's not out there. When my daughter complained that she had to wash the dishes, and I thank the Lord for that, because she's at home, eating at home and not out there. And I thank the Lord that after a home gathering, I have to clean up all the mess, because people, we have a home gathering. And when I mow my lawn, wash the windows, clean my house, really tired, I thank the Lord, because I have a home, I have a house. And when I ironing all these clothes and really tired, I thank the Lord, because I have enough clothes to change. And when I pay my tax, I thank the Lord, because I still have a job. The only thing I complain that my tax money is not properly used, but I think that's a legitimate complaint. And when I find a parking space that is the furthest one from the entrance to the shopping mall, I have to walk 5 minutes to the mall. I thank the Lord that I can still walk. One day maybe someone will wheel me to the entrance, but I can still walk. I thank the Lord for that. Saturday morning, my alarm clock went off, and I got woke up early in the morning. Was my alarm clock waking me up so early? But I should thank the Lord that I'm still alive, right? Otherwise, I could have just continued to sleep. That I can alive. I heard the alarm clock. Many things we can thank the Lord. A spirit-controlled life is a person who gives thanks to all things, because he's a humble person. To be controlled by the Spirit brings us humility. And when we humble before God, then we would see his blessings. God bless each one of you abundantly. But how come some can experience and show appreciation to God, but some cannot? It is because we do not have this heart of submission. We don't have a heart of humility. God bless everyone equally according to his grace. When I say equal, I don't mean the same amount. But God bless you according to what you can receive. Now, too much blessing, you may actually walk away from God. God bless each one of us, but not everyone equally. Return our gratitude to him. A spirit-controlled life is one that brings us down on our knees. Lack of thankfulness comes from pride, from the conviction that we deserve everything. Are you filled with the Spirit? So I always ask the Lord myself, I always learning, trying to be a thankful person. I thank the Lord that I had to work so many hours at church. I thank the Lord that I can still work so many hours like I did the last 30, 40 years, even though I'm obviously not as young and energetic as before, but I can still handle so many hours of work. So I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that people coming here, making a big mess of the church, then we have to clean up afterwards. During the pandemic, actually, we have less work in here, but no one coming in here. We only have to vacuum it once a while. But now we have to keep vacuuming the church, keep sanitizing to the minute you left, and then they come in and sanitize the whole church again, the washroom, the handrails. I thank the Lord for that, because there are people coming, right? There are people coming. I even thank the Lord if we have to open another Cantonese service on Saturday. If there are too many Chinese congregants coming in. So I thank the Lord that we have a community here. There are a lot of challenge. Every week we have to reveal our safety measures. And then we try to match that, at least we try to be above what the government is doing. Now the government requires all federal employees to be fully vaccinated. But we've already done that. So we're always working hard, but I thank the Lord that we have all this work. For some churches, there's no people, only 50 people in the church, then they have less work. And the last thing I learned from this few verses here, a spirit-filled life is a life that submits to one another. All of the fear, reverence for Christ. Submit to one another, and yes, in the fear of Christ, the reverence of Christ. Submission is an ugly word in our culture, especially in fighting, right? Submission meaning that you lose the fight, you have to tap out. We don't like to hear the word submissive in our culture. We want to be strong. We always want to say that we are speaking from the position of strength, not weakness. We always taught to get our own way, my way or no way. Everybody had to fight for his own way. It's right. We want to talk about the right. Each person has his right, different kind of right. I'm not denying all those. No, don't get me wrong. But here the scripture saying that we have to submit. God give certain people certain authority over us. In chapter 6, which follows this verse, scripture talk about submission of wife to husband, submission of children to parents, submission of employees to employer. That's another topic. The submission is a sign of your life being controlled by Christ. This is not submission in sin. If the government tells us to do things that is against the scripture, that's not the submission here that Paul is talking about. We submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Jesus called us to self-denial, but not self-hatred. That's the difference. Self-denial, giving up our own self. We do not always have to have it our own way. Richard Foster said, the obsession to demand that things go the way we want them to go is one of the greatest bondages in human society today. When our life is controlled by the Spirit, we submit to Christ. When we submit our life to our Lord, then we can submit to one another. God gave us authorities over us in various different areas. But very often, week after week, months after year, months, even years after years, we always seem to be perpetually fighting for something that is actually at the end is irrelevant. But we have to get that. So very often, we even get an answer out of it. Our life seems to hang on that one little issue. But when we get it, we find that it's not that important in life. Submission actually leads us to freedom. What kind of freedom is that? In submission, how can that be freedom? in a fight, submission that you're being controlled by your opponent. You have to tap out. You lose the fight. Submission will free us from ourselves. It is us who kept us bondage. The Holy Spirit frees us from the bondage of our own ego self. We are the one who keeping ourselves in bondage. We refuse to submit to the authorities God has given to certain people because it's our ego. So when we submit to Christ, we actually free ourselves. We let the Holy Spirit lead us to control us. Jesus himself shows us what submission means. Jesus is God, but although he existed in the form of existed in the form of God, Jesus is God himself, he's way high up there, but he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, took the form of a born servant, and being made in the likeness of man, he became a slave. He even humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is way high up there in heaven, but yet he humbled himself. He submitted himself to the Father. He came and became a man, and he died for our sins, and he even died on the cross. Now, is Jesus, is this a weak Jesus that we are seeing here? We know it is not. This is, Jesus is not appealing to us in weakness, instead in a position of strength. Christian is an utterly free man, Lord of all, is from Luther, Lord of all, subject to none. We are above, because we are God's creation. We are a free person, the Lord of all. We belong to God, subject to none. But yet, a Christian is an utterly dutiful man, servant of all, subject to all. I think that captures the meaning. Just because we are being submissive doesn't mean that we are in a position of weakness. Instead, you may think that I'm getting my way, I'm winning my way. I always appear to people in a position of strength. I'm winning all the cases. Yet, you may not be in a position of strength. It may be your weakness, because you cannot control your own ego, desire. Like Jesus, he submitted himself to the Father, but yet he bring glory to heaven. When we submit to each other in Christ, don't forget, it says in Christ, then our life is actually set free. We are, like Luther said, we are free men, Lord to all, subject to none, but yet we are servants of all, subject to all. So this morning, as we reflect again, is your life feel controlled by the Spirit? Do you feel that I'm looking forward to next Sunday, that I can come here to praise the Lord? I want to do this actually in my shower, when I'm driving. Do you have this urge? Or Sunday worship is just part of my duties that I have to do, or you look forward to? Like, not just worshiping God yourself, but corporate worship to each other, singing hymns to each other. Are you looking forward to that? Do you have this desire to worship, sing praise to God? Is your heart always being thankful for everything? Paul said, everything, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we have a community here. I'm thankful that we have a church building. Today, we won't be able to afford to buy this building. Trust me. This building worth millions and millions today. But with faith, you know, Pastor Chow bought this 55 years ago, that we can come here and enjoy. We have you ever thank the church for that? We're thankful that so far, all our meetings are safe. A church, outside church, every one of our meetings is safe. I just thank the Lord that you have a Clay Fellowship, QL Fellowship, Cornos Fellowship, Saturday Night Fellowship, all these small groups. Have you ever thanked the Lord for that? A spirit-controlled life will bring us humility, and humility will bring us thankfulness. Are you submit to each other, to God's ordained authority? Or you always, my way or no way? My way or no way is not a happy person. You think that you're getting your way, but actually you're walking away from the Lord. Submit in Christ. Again, Paul said, submit to each other in Christ, in the fear of Christ, according to the scripture. Then In your submission, you are truly a free person. You are controlled and led by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, may your Spirit renew our life, renew each of us. Show us this morning, we want to live a life that is controlled, that is filled by the Spirit. So that when people see us, they can see our singing, our praise, that our life is filled of the joy of serving you. When people see us in submission, it's not a position of weakness, instead of strength. Father, may your Spirit fill us this morning, control us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.